I remember those that are very familiar with the Greek language say that it is so much richer than the English language. And as John was reading from the Amplified, all they've done is extend the meaning and the use of those words. And this book amazes me. Amazes. Its depths will not be known. That contained herein is of infinite value, and only the children have reason to pursue knowing God. Through the written word, but it's far more than the written word. It's a divine revelation of God. Now you ask in Him that we might find God near. We've never had that. You, I, it's never been. You might get a little sense, awareness of that in your closet. You might. Hopefully you do. And there might be a knowledge of that in the individual heart when you meet. But as far as the church of God knowing anything about God being near, that's long been gone. And that's the only thing that's going to get us back to where we ought to be. Are you seeking to be near God and have God near you? You sure need to be. And I was reminded this morning by a question asked. And I wonder how it would apply to us. If the Lord of glory told you to sell everything you got and give it away and come follow Him, would you do it in exchange for eternal life? We would at the day of judgment, I know. We must be willing and hold everything here with a very loose grip. That we may find Him. If you would turn with me to the 144th Psalm. And the one thing I'm looking for this morning is enough voice to last and for enough help for you to endear information for a little. See, nothing's required of you if I just give you information. You can soak that up. And not have dealings with God. But I'm not doing it for that purpose, but to establish, I trust, what's being said here. Would you pray with me? Our Father, would you be gracious and merciful enough to let us have some awareness of thy presence and thy nearness. The only thing that will fit us for glory and take away from that sudden unknowing appearance of being face to face with thee is the little glimpses that we have now. Or seeing thee in Christ, looking in the mirror, beholding thy glory, we are changed from image to image. Would you grant that for us? I pray that you would catch our attention and hold it. And Lord, make this a serious time for all of us, for eternity. Hangs in the balance based upon our hearing thy word and becoming doers. Give us that seriousness, soberness, attentiveness within to walk out, hopefully being able to say, I've heard God speak to my soul today. Open the scriptures, Father, as you open our hearts, and give help in preaching. And help in hearing. And would you gather us humbly at thy sovereign footstool where Christ is on the throne. There, to praise, adore, worship, and have our hearts run out to thee. We ask for thy Spirit for these things in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 144. Let's just read all of it. It's not that long. Blessed be the Lord. Pay attention to that word. You will find it throughout this psalm, throughout the Psalms. Used more than any other, referring to God. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? That's man standing in the awareness of the Lord. Far different than that one that is declared today. For the one that is declared today, men get a sense that God owes us. Not one in the awareness of Jehovah. Verse 4, man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow the heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Therein his language changes. And we'll look at these two words, Lord and God. Upon the psaltery, an instrument of 10 strings, will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our street. Is he wanting to be rich? No. That's not what he's asking for. Wanting his sons and his daughters to be popular? No, be cornerstones, polished in the house of God. Young men as plants strong in the Lord. That's his desire. That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Verse 15 is the text. Happy, blessed, same word, is that people that is in such a case. Yea, blessed is that people. And that this phrase is the title. Blessed is that people, or that man, or woman, whose God is the Lord. The first revelation made known when God stepped out to begin the great work of creation was God, Elohim in the Hebrew. A word meaning one in covenant relationship with Himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. And that relationship and work is bringing about a people. Father, keep through Thine own name those that Thou hast given me. When did He give them to Him? Before they ever got here. Before eternity, before time began. John 13, Jesus, knowing that His time was come, that He was to depart out of the world, having loved His own, which were in the world, how long did He love them? Forever. He loved them unto the end. If you read Genesis 1, the only name used is G-O-D, God, in Genesis 1. It is about God bringing light out of darkness, order out of chaos, and then God bringing His image into man that He created. You will find the word God or gods with a lowercase g referred to many times in Scripture, where it makes reference to the many different gods. God said, all the gods of Egypt I'm going to destroy. Call upon your gods, Elijah said, one you've been serving, little g. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 8, there are many gods and many lords. Take heed, God said, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods. Possibility in our day? Stronger than ever. Why? Good possibility we're in the little season. A good possibility that you're living in a day in which the bottomless pit has been opened and those scorpions are coming out. The sun darkened. Stars not giving their light. It's a good day, good possibility that we are in that day. False prophets lying to men and women. Darkness having covered the land. Now I speak to you children, not you in the youth, and I hope you in youth, but I am speaking to you, the children of God, only as you make use of the light given, shall more be given unto you. Yet a little while, John 12, the light is with you. Okay, what do I do when the light is with me? You walk while you have light. If you won't walk in the light that I give you, Jesus said, I'll make sure that darkness comes upon you. You don't heed me? I'll take away the little light. darkness will set in. You don't make use of an ear to hear, I'll take it away. You don't make use of eyes to see, I'll close them. You got light for a little while. Make use of it. God said, if you do that, I'll give you more. Now, folk, one name cannot be used to describe or explain God no more than 100 names could. But he that puts to use what he knows, then presses on to know more, shall have further revelation of God. Why are you here? Well, it's what I'm supposed to do on Sundays. Oh, no. Well, he said, forsake not the assembling, so I'm not forsake. That's still not answering the question, what are you doing here? Well, I'm made to come. You better thank God if he's given you that much common grace that he would make you come here. Why are you here, really? To find further revelation of God? Find something else about God that might attract your heart more to him? Why? Matthew 13:12, for whosoever hath, that means you hold as you would a priceless gem, you seize it in your hand and you have it in possession in your mind. For whosoever hath shall be given, and that in abundance. But he that hath doth not hold that I give him, I'll take it away, he said. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. If you ever reach a point that you have in your own mind attained unto a sufficient amount of knowledge of God, the word of God will become a curse and a snare to you. You think it's a living book and a living book only? No, it would be better classified if it had on the front a skull with an X over it. Or, this is the door to eternal life. It's one of those two. And God will use the same word wherein he forms a child to be with him in eternity, that he forms a reprobate to be in his presence apart from mercy. We have not yet arrived at a sufficient knowledge of God. You here for that? Romans 1, if you would turn with me. And of course, you know it, but I probably can't get to anything that you don't, that we haven't in some way been over. Romans 1. If you hold on to what I give you, I'll give you more in abundance. But if you do not hold tightly, that I give you, I'll take away everything that I have given you. Romans 1:28. But even as they did not like to retain the same word Jesus used in Matthew 13, hath, they did not like to hold God in their knowledge. What's going to happen?
God gave him over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So they get to the door. Read Hebrews 6. They get to the door. They have the dealings of the Spirit of God. They know the powers of the world to come. They've tasted the good word of God. They've tasted the powers, but they fall away. They don't hold the knowledge they have. God said, okay, this is what I'll do to you. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, how much knowledge? I don't know. How close do they resemble a child of God? I don't know. Is there a possibility of distinguishing them? No. Only time, only what their life produces will determine if the knowledge they had of God was sanctified and pressed them on to know more about God. Now, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And God says, okay, I'll darken your heart. You'll never hear me again. You don't like what you know about me? You don't ever have to worry about learning anything else about me. I'll darken your heart. Now to our text. Blessed is that people whose God, the one in covenant relationship with Himself and His people, the one that loves, blessed is that people whose God is the capital all the way through now, L-O-R-D. Our translators knew no other way other than expressing to these that would get the Word of God that there is a difference in us capitalizing all the letters than in those times when we just capitalize L in Lord. The only aspect, facet, you can't say attribute because I don't, though it's right, the only facet of this being in Scripture that has been preached for a long time is G-O-D, the one that loves. And one thing's needful for this generation to hear, although it will never be, because we did not like to retain God in our knowledge, now God has given over a nation to a reprobate mind. God's through. But the one thing needful is that love, in its highest degree, which is only in God, has characteristics other than these that religion have attached to it. The love of God is so great for His children, He'll not hesitate to break the leg of a wandering sheep. Brother Avery Rogers told about going over there and spending months and months with a shepherd up in the hills. Instead of a sheep kept wandering off, though that's not a characteristic or a trait of most of them. He said the shepherd would break that sheep's leg. And then he'd carefully set it. And everywhere that the sheep went, the shepherd would carry it till its leg was healed. And said the shepherd never had a problem of that sheep wandering from the fold anymore. God loves soul that he'll break your leg. Set it, fix it, but you won't have strength to walk. But he's not going to have sheep wandering from the fold. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. God won't hesitate a moment to lay you up in a sick bed to get your attention. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. That's a facet of God that is not heard today. Or we hear about God's love. That's true. But his love is far greater than the harlot is speaking about. God, the God that she declares, would never break a sheep's leg, would never lay one of his children up on a sick bed, a dying bed. He would never do. Yes, he will. And God loves you to a point that he will withhold things from you you think are essential. But you don't need them. God's love for his children is far greater than your temporal happiness. Joy, you can have joy in your soul when everything's falling apart. But happiness depends on circumstances. And we're always wanting to have God keep us in circumstances that make us happy. It's due to that God in Genesis 1 that loves soul, that you find reference to the second name ever used in Genesis 2, and that is the Lord capitalized. Here it means Jehovah, the sovereign ruler of the universe. And it said, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth. And when God, who loved those creatures, when he created them, he would have them know, I'm in charge of you. I love you. But my love is to such a degree that there will be boundaries set for your good. Every tree out there, you can eat of it. That's as far as the love of God extends. Enjoy everything I created. And the harlot declares the love of God, and we say that she's saying truth, but she doesn't know what she's talking about or the extent of what she's saying. His love is so great and to such a degree that we'll never know anything but the slightest portion of it. But we can say this, because his love is so great that God put a fence around a tree there. And said, you can't eat that one. Only one there. And you know what children are going to do when you tell them they can't? They're going to do it if they get opportunity and think you won't ever know about it. So Eve had to try it. The love of God is not that of a stern, harsh taskmaster. And he didn't put a fence up so that he could take a rod and beat them. But he created them in his image. And his love was to the extent that he said, this is what's good for you, and this is what's bad. You build fences for your children. Freddie was telling about he and Johnette walking into John's a couple of weeks back, and the little boys were sitting on the couch with a long face, and he knew they'd been in trouble and been disciplined. And he asked them, I think it was Evan told him, they got too close playing at the road. Now, any of you seen a fence up there around John's yard? No. But there's one there. You can play here, but you better not go beyond what I've said. Now, didn't do that so he could bring them in the house and discipline. No. No, he didn't. God put the fence so that he could bring you in and discipline you because you crossed over. The grass on the other side was green. No. He put the fence and the boundary up because on this side is what's best for you. God said you can have anything in this pasture. And a cow can have grass knee deep and she's going to stick her head on the fence to get that's on the other side. Asaph said, I was like a beast. My behavior before thee was just like a beast. Look at the language in Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God, that's the great Jehovah in covenant relationship within the Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit, and bringing into that relationship a church, the Lord God. And he said unto the woman, yea. Now, the only language, the only reference that he will make will never be to the Lord, about the Lord. He'll always talk about the one that loves. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God, only reference she's going to make now, well, God loves us. God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, you know what happens next. He convinced her that the
loving God who created her wouldn't withhold this from her. So she ate. Next time you hear about them, verse number 8. Are you here? And they heard the voice, not of God, but of the one that built the fence, of the one that loved so, that he said, you can't eat that one tree. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, there is a general call that goes out every time the gospel is preached, but it'll not affect any of you until there is a specific individual call of your name. Adam, where are you? If the gospel never says that to you, if the power of God is not made known in your soul by His Spirit calling your name, not God, but the Lord God, where are you? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, I was terrified. You think that the knowledge that we have of God today terrifies anybody? I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he goes on. And the Lord God called the man and the woman to give an account. See, he dealt with Adam because Adam knew what he was doing. He dealt with him first. Adam, where are you? And then he dealt with the woman. But he did not call the serpent to give an account. If you make it into heaven, the Lord God will call you unto Himself to give an account of your deeds. If He does not call you, then you are not His seed. Ye are of your father, the devil. Now, how does somebody get to be a father? By birth. Now, I can't explain that. And I don't know the depths of it. But I know this, that the devil's got children walking around on the face of God's earth just as much as God has. Probably more now. Well, more always. Whose child are you? Now here's David in Psalm 144. Blessed is that man or woman, boy or girl, only as God is their Lord. There are many gods. But the one true God will bring every child to a Savior who is Christ their Lord. He's the great demander. He bought you. He owns you. It's His right to put up the boundaries. It's His right to correct you.
You belong to Him. And the children have no problem with that. Now, we get our feelings hurt from time to time because God kept the pacifier out of our mouth, or God didn't give us that little stick of candy we'd like to have had. But He does it for a reason. Salvation is a lifelong, lifetime process of the Lord clearing up all false perceptions that we've got or have formed of the one true God. And the only thing that clears that up is eyesight and God continually calling him, you, unto himself. Adam, where are you? And ridding us of all these garments that we've sewn together. We've been stitching up rags to cover our shame all our lifetime. And God take them all away if you're in a glory. Blessed is the man whose God is a God of love. Now, Genesis 15. You come to the first use of the word Lord, where all letters are not capitalized. Genesis 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Remember now, verse 1, it is the voice of Jehovah talking. And Abram said, and here's the first use, Lord. Here's another name of God that denotes a relationship. It is that of a master to his servant. It is that of a husband or a wife to her husband. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? You are a God of covenant, in a covenant relationship. I know that you being God, you will bring your children into a relationship as that of a wife and a husband, but what will you give me, seeing I go childless? I can't get to that relationship that you have for a creature because I have no seed. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came. And told him. Now look what happens in verse number 6. And he believed in the all-powerful, sovereign God. And he knew that it would be the seed of the woman that would bring in the covenant people of God to a relationship as that of a man and a wife. One last passage. No. Isaiah, one next to the last. Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, that is that term of relationship, sitting upon a throne. You mean one in relationship with the people is on a throne, high and lifted up, and trying to fill the temple? Yes. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. I saw one in covenant relationship, but I saw creatures that had never sinned, that had their faces covered in the presence of this. What'd they say? Verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now guess what happens when Jehovah is revealed. Verse 5, then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. First sight was just capital L in Lord, one of relationship, but when he saw those holy creatures, their faces covered, and his eyesight cleared up a little bit, and seeing the King, the Lord of hosts, then he knew what he was. Would to God he would once again make himself known as the one on the throne. We wouldn't be so careless. We'd walk circumspectly. We'd make use of what He gives us. For if a man or woman ever sees God high and lifted up on the throne, if they ever see God to be the Lord, then he is immediately brought to the realization of a lowly, pitiful creature in condition that he is and is in. How is your approach to God? Who are you talking to when you pray? Has the mouth ever been stopped because of an awareness of Almighty God whose presence fills heaven and earth? It almost brings unbelief when we see the Lord, the King of glory, on the throne, and we think about ourselves in a sinful condition, and yet must get to Him, and we wonder how can such a holy Lord bring such as I into a relationship with Himself. And if it is the Spirit of God working this, He'll point you to Christ. He'll point you to a tree that'll make the bitter water sweet. He'll point you to a dying lamb. But you got to see yourself a sinner. You got to know that before you'll ever need a Savior. Closing out, back in Psalm 144. We've seen Abraham talking to God. We've seen Isaiah seeing the Lord, one in relationship, sitting on the throne, but then he sees him to be Jehovah. And he finds out how impure he is. Psalm 144, David makes reference, first eight verses, of the Lord. And if you see God on the throne, the Lord God on the throne, verse 3, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. That's what I am. I wish we hadn't been weaned on the fact that God loves. Because that's about the only one we talk to when we pray. But the first revelation of an awakened soul, the first revelation of an awakened soul is L-O-R-D, all capitalized, sitting on the throne. Every one of us grew up with some faint knowledge of God. And every one of us heard a lot about Jesus. But we didn't hear about the Lord. Now, do you think that Peter and the apostles and Paul spoke about God and the one in relationship? Do you think they did? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. They never spoke about God-loving folks. They spoke about one on the throne. They said, you've got to call on him. Well, how are you going to call on one you don't know? You've got to hear about him. God's got to tell you about himself through an old creature. How shall they call on him and whom they've not heard? How shall they hear? God said, okay, you got an interest in hearing, I'll send you a preacher. It's you calling on the one that sits on the throne, not on this sweet little Jesus that's been hatched up by the great theologians that want to impress the crowds. It's not about God. It's about the Lord God. And only you coming to see that will you ever be brought into a relationship of just L capitalized Lord Adonai. I'll be your husband. But before I'm your husband, you're going to know who I am and you're going to know who you are.